Well, I hope you had a good afternoon. I'm glad you're here tonight. We have several visiting with us, and we appreciate so much having you with us this evening. We are especially happy to see that some of our visitors are back this evening, and then we've got some folks sitting over there by Dad and Patsy, and I think everybody knows them, but we're glad that the Haddocks are here tonight. It's I noticed that I saw Haley, and then I didn't see Ellen, and then all of a sudden I saw a head move by Harry. I said, all right, yeah, there she is. We're happy they're with us this evening, as well as all of our visitors, and especially our members back this evening. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We're going to look at a few words of wisdom from Solomon. And then tonight we're going to talk about the inefficient farmer. Some of you grew up on a farm, didn't you? And you're not there anymore. And there's probably a good reason for that. You can only farm so long, right? And it's time to sit and take your ease. Farming is a difficult life. And farming has had a great transition through history from the time of the biblical farmers to modern times. But as you look at the Bible and what it talks about in relationship to farming, we read about a sower. And if you look at verse 6 of Ecclesiastes chapter 11, in the morning, the writer Solomon says, sow your seed, and in the evening, do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper. Either this or that, whether both alike, will be good. This describes the life of a farmer, morning and evening. Jerry, you milked cows, didn't you? Morning and evening. Got a Jerry over here, milk cows, morning and evening. To be a successful farmer, it's morning and evening. Because of the work that's before a farmer, he must take the opportunity to work while he has that opportunity. And what we're going to talk about tonight is the sower who goes forth to sow seed. And of course, most of us, when we think about the sower, would not think of Ecclesiastes. We would go back and think about what's said in Luke chapter 8, where Jesus describes the sower who goes forth to sow. He went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell. And some of it fell by the wayside or the pathway. Some fell on a rock, and some fell among thorns, but others fell on good ground. So as you look at this parable that Jesus tells us, it's clear that this farmer is really not so efficient. Because as he sows seed, not all of it is going to go on the good ground. The word sower is an interesting word because it literally comes from the description of a movement of the hand. And that movement is a quick jerk. And so when a sower sows, he's quickly jerking his hand and letting that seed fly. And what he's doing is he's scattering that seed. In Matthew 13, verse 31, Jesus talks about the mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. What he was doing was taking his hand and jerking, letting that seed fly into the wind. Now that method of farming with seed is called broadcast seeding, scattering the seed. However, that type of farming is not very efficient. Now how many of you remember as kids that mom and dad put out a garden? Yep. We as kids, there was a whole herd of us kids. Dad would get us out there on particularly Saturday morning, and it was time for gardening. And then while he worked during the week, it was supposed to be our time for gardening when we got home from school to pull weeds and all that other fun stuff. But when it was time for planting, Dad would get us kids out there, and he would tell us exactly where to dig up dirt, how to make up the rows. And then he would talk about the seeds and how deep the seeds were supposed to go, where they're to be planted, and would work at getting the rows all set, and you know the story. But I do want to tell you, this picture is not a picture of me. You might be thinking that guy in the hat with the hoe is me. It's not. And I can assure it's not a picture of me because my dad never had a suit when we were gardening. We had the old clothes on, so did my dad, because he was intending on us working with him as he worked. And as we worked, he would make sure to instruct us with things like this. He'd say, "Boys, don't waste the seed." And he meant it too, because his intention was that we put the seed where it was supposed to go. And he'd say something like this: "Every seed has its right place." And he could tell us by what kind of seed, how deep it was supposed to go, how far apart, and what it was supposed to be like when it got into the ground and got covered up. Dad wanted to make sure that our farming was as efficient as possible. He did not intend for us to go out there and scatter seed. Now, we'd have loved that because we could have got gardening done real fast, but that was not Dad's intention. That was not his plan. He wanted us to be efficient. And today, we know that farmers are very efficient. They don't go out in the fields and scatter seed like they did in the first century. They got machines like this that will actually plant little bitty seeds into rows in the ground. And these machines work very efficiently so that when the wheat field grows, it looks something like this. In rows and not just scattered everywhere, growing everywhere. There's dirt and good soil. The farmers today try to be very, very efficient. However, in the first century, that's not the case. The farmers are very inefficient because, one, they're laboring by hand. And that's what the idea of the sower is, to jerk the hand. They're out there literally sowing the seed by hand. And we all know that's not the most efficient method to farm. And it's interesting in Ecclesiastes 11, verse 6, that we read, "In the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, do not withhold your hand." Because the only way the work was going to get done was because of the hands that were submitted to the task. And when that farmer, that sower, sows the seed by hand, he is not only inefficiently farming in the sense that he's working by hand, but he's also going to waste seed. Because not all that seed is going to find the good ground. If you go back to verse 4 in Ecclesiastes, we read these words: "He who observes the wind will not sow." A farmer might think in this day and time that, well, I better not get out there and sow seed because some of it's going to blow in the wrong place. Well, if a person is always looking to the wind, they're not going to sow because that's how the seed is sown. It's cast, scattered. And the best time to scatter the seeds when you do have the wind. And of course, if the wind's strong, it's going to carry some seed where it shouldn't go. But that's the very concept of this inefficient farming. It does waste seed. But here's the point I want to make with you tonight. The ineffective farmer doesn't mean that he's not going to accomplish a task. What might appear as inefficient doesn't mean that the job isn't going to get done in a sense that he's not going to be able to produce a crop. In other words, he's not totally ineffective. And as I've labeled this point here with the wording, the inefficient farmer doesn't mean ineffective farmer. Oh, sure, some of that seed's going to be wasted. Time's going to be wasted because he's sowing by seed. The wind's going to carry it where it doesn't want to go. But it is going to produce. If you look at verse 5. "As you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything." You see what he's saying? We don't know where the seed's going. But that's not a concern for the farmer. The sower is to go do his job by hand. He is going to waste the seed, but he's still going to be effective. Even though he's inefficient, his work is still going to prosper. And it's interesting in the context that there's comparison with a child growing. We don't understand that. I don't understand how a seed, little old bitty seed, can produce this big old plant. And how they can grow. But I do know that our God's in charge of that. And it's a part of His plan, a part of His work. And so, clearly, if I sow, I have hope in sowing that there will be a reaping. Now, in verse 6, notice the last part of that verse. In the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper. Either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. The sower doesn't know just how effective he's going to be. But it doesn't matter. Because God is in control. That's what we read in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 7, isn't it? Paul explaining the work of those who sow the seed, the word of God. And then he goes on, he says, and so neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. God's in charge of that part of it, isn't he? The sower sows. He may be inefficient in his sowing. He's wasting seed and he's working by hand. But that doesn't matter. Because some of that crop's going to produce. And that's the significant part. And notice what Paul goes on and says in verse 8. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. The more seed that's scattered, even though some's wasted, the more seed that's sown in the field, even though it's done by hand, will be effective in producing fruit. Luke 8, verse 8. Jesus said, still other seed fell on good soil. Even though some seed's wasted on the rocky path or the pathway and the rocky ground, and among the thorns, it is still going to produce when it goes to the good ground. As he says, here it'll yield a crop 100 times more than was sown. And that's the real principle of what this is all about. When the seed is sown, it produces fruit. And that makes it significant. Now tonight, in just a brief period of time, and I thank Jerry for giving me the time because it's passing quickly. I want to share with you some lessons as we think about the inefficient farmer. Number one, we have seed to sow, don't we? And what is that seed? The Word of God. And here's what we must know. We've got plenty of seeds. Isn't that amazing? A book full of words. The seed. And we can get one of these real quick. Shelves are full of them. Used bookstores are full of them. And hopefully our hearts. So whether it's a film strip, whether it's a track, whether it's opening the book and sitting down with somebody, we've got the seed. And there's plenty of it. And that is important. And then number two, all of the seed is not going to fall on good ground. And I have to accept that. Now I might think like the man in Ecclesiastes, well, the wind's blowing, so I don't want to waste any seed, so I'm just not going to go out and sow. I'll wait till it's calm. When it's completely calm, the sower is really not effective at all because the seed is not going to go very far. He's going to have to really work hard to get it out there. And it'll go out there, but he's going to have to work hard as he moves his hand. The wind can actually be helpful. And so just because there's wind blowing, I don't want to say I can't sow the seed. I've got to accept that when I sow the seed, that some of that seed is going to be wasted. And clearly that's what Jesus points out in Luke chapter 8. You have the types of ground. You have the wayside ground. What happens? It's the path. What happens to the seed? It's trampled. It doesn't produce. And Jesus said those on the wayside are the ones that hear. Then the devil comes along and takes away the word out of their hearts. And then we have the rocks. Seed is sown. It blows over on rocky ground. And we know that seed's not going to produce and be fruitful on rocky ground or rocks itself. It may have a little bit of root, but what did Jesus say? Verse 13, the ones on the rock are those who when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root. So clearly, that is not going to be very fruitful. And then you look at what Jesus says in Luke 8, verse 7. You have the thorns. As the sower goes forth, he flicks his hand, the seed goes out, the wind carries it. It'll carry it to the area where there's ground that is not going to be productive. Why? Because it's overgrown. It's going to be grown with thorns. And the thorns grow and they choke it. And Jesus says, these are the ones that fell among thorns, are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with the cares, riches, and pleasures of life. And what happens? They bring no fruit to maturity. Once again, ineffective ground because it's not conducive to growing. But here's what we must remember. Seed falling on good ground will produce a yield. So the sower goes. He wastes the seed. He's inefficient. He's sowing by hand. But here's the good news. The seed on the good ground will produce. Matthew 13, verse 8. Jesus says, others fell on good ground, some and yielded a crop, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. That's the design of the seed. It's to produce an increase. And who gives us that increase? God gives us that increase. In Luke 8, verse 8, some fell into the good soil and grew and yielded a hundredfold in Luke, we read. Who are they? They're the ones on the good ground who have heard the word and with a noble and good heart keep it and bear fruit with patience. Which leads us to emphasizing this with you tonight. There's no excuse not to scatter seed. It's interesting that in Ecclesiastes 11:6, it says, in the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper. In other words, keep farming. Keep sowing the seed. Because the seed will bear fruit. And there's no excuse for not sowing the seed. And when it comes to the church, we often talk about sowing the seed. And we think about, well, I really can't get out and study the Bible with somebody. I'm not equipped to do that, or I don't have the health or whatever. But as we know, there's a place for us to fit in so that seed can be sown. We can make that phone call that says to our neighbor, we would sure love for you to be here May 5th. And what's going to happen if they come? You're going to sow seed because the gospel is going to be preached. When you pick up one of these handouts, stick it in the mail, what are you doing? You're giving people an invitation to come hear the word of God, which is the seed. And some of those handouts, if it gets to their house or anywhere else in the world, and they open it up in the middle, it's going to have the plan of salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ clearly explained to them. What are you doing when you send that out? You're sowing the seed. And not all seeds going to produce fruit. But we have the promise that some will. And so therefore, we never want to think, well, no one's really interested. You know, we were talking about putting names down on this list right here. And then praying for these people. What are we doing when we're doing that? We're depending upon God to do His part, give us the increase. And it's all about doing what we can to sow the seed. And that's what the emphasis of this verse is all about. In the morning, sow your seed. In the evening, do not withhold your hand. And that's essential, that the seed gets sown. And we need to know as we do it, we don't know what's going to be the outcome. But I do know that some of you were invited to come to a meeting at the Church of Christ. and that led you to obey the gospel. I know some of you were invited to a vacation Bible school. You heard the gospel. Seed was sown, seed was further sown, and you obeyed the gospel. Or serving Christ. That just shows us that the fruit will be produced. But here's something tonight I want you to take with you. To not sow is a tragedy. It'd be real easy just to close the book, enjoy ourselves together and what we do here, worshiping God, and never reach out. Never sow the seed. But what good is that going to do? Well, we know the answer to that. In fact, Ecclesiastes 11 verse 4 tells us, he who observes the wind will not sow. And what happens if we do not sow? And he who regards the clouds will not reap. And when you look at this, you think about, well, what's it talking about? Well, one day the wind's blown, one day it's going to rain. It's hard to find just those perfect days. So if we keep coming up with an excuse why it's to not sow, then what's going to happen? We will not reap. And here's the tragedy. All of what we've been talking about tonight is about lost souls. What is the purpose of the Word of God sown in men's hearts? It's to reap fruit. But tragically, the devil's at work, and the devil comes and he takes away the Word, Jesus says, from their hearts. So that they may not believe and be saved. That's when the seed's sown on the wrong kind of ground. But if we don't sow it, the results are the same, aren't they? If we don't sow seed at all, then, of course, no one can believe because they haven't heard. So how shall they hear? Well, Paul answered that question in Romans chapter 10. They hear because someone proclaims. What is it talking about? They're sowing seeds. And so, to me, that encourages me to realize that this is very important, that I understand that it's God who gives the increase, and my job is to do all that I can, any way I can, and use what talent I do have to make sure the seed is sown, whether it be from supporting a work, making a missionary trip, sitting down in the home Bible study, or simply mailing out a handout. All of these things work together to sow a seed. And we should be optimistic about the results. Even though we might look at ourselves and say, well, we're pretty inefficient. That doesn't matter. That doesn't mean we're not effective. In John 4, verse 35, Jesus said, do not say, there are still 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look for the fields. What are they? They are already white for harvest, Jesus says. I've sometimes heard Christians say, well, in this community, nobody really wants to hear the gospel. We don't believe that, do we, Brother Terry? No. We don't believe that about anywhere. Because our Lord promises us, if we sow, we shall reap. And he is trying to convince his disciples that there is going to be a harvest. Because they could have easily looked at the world and when Jesus said, go into all the world, and said, nope, nobody's really interested. But that did not prove to be true, did it? Paul, when he was distressed and concerned about persecution at Corinth, in Acts chapter 18, the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Of course, this was in the first century. This happened. Why? Because Paul needed to know that he needed to keep sowing. He was told to not be afraid, but to speak. And do not keep silent. Verse 10, God says to him, for I am with you. No one will attack you to hurt you. And then he says, for I have many people in this city. Paul was being told the fields are white unto harvest. And that when he sows the seed, it's going to be effective. Not everybody's going to obey the gospel, of course, because some of that seed's not going to go to good soil. But some of it would. And because of that, we read a letter to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians. Then 2 Corinthians, and there's a mention of a third letter written to the church. Why was there a church? Because the seed was sown. Tonight, maybe that seed's laid in your heart for quite a while, and you're yet to obey the gospel. Tonight, we're going to, in just a moment, sing an invitation song. We want to encourage you, if you understand what you need to do, then why not do it? Because the Baptist is ready. But are you ready? And Christians, may we be encouraged to remember that even though we're not perfect, the Lord will forgive us when we keep turning to Him. If we can assist you in any way, in that way, there's something we can do to assist you in your walk with Christ. Why not make that known as we stand and sing? Would you come?